Please open your Bibles to Matthew, the 20th chapter. We'll be reading verses 1 through 10 this morning as our scripture reading. Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, "You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you." So they went out. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first." And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius.
Good morning. We have a number that are visiting with us. We are so thankful that you are here. It's always good to get back home, to be able to worship with the group here at West Mason. You know, it's interesting when you think about that story and the idea of what happened in these first 10 verses. You imagine, and it's so fascinating to me, and we'll go through this story a little bit, the idea of what true grace is and what it looks like. We sing about it. We just sang about it. And you think about how awesome His grace is. But there's a quote that I heard a long time ago and that always catches me when I think about this subject. It says, "Grace is scandalous. It's hard to accept, hard to believe, and hard to receive. Grace shocks us in what it offers. It is truly not of this world. It frightens us in what it does for sinners." And you think, well, that's a little rough of a quote. And then you read Matthew, the 20th chapter, and you come to verse 10, and you think exactly like the people that were there in the third hour. They hold their hand out waiting for more money, and they get exactly the same amount that the people that came in the 11th hour got. The same amount. How is that even close to being fair? See, the interesting thing when it comes to grace and what we're going to talk about this morning is the idea of how awesome the owner, if you will, God is in this story. And how often as the laborers, we look at the other laborers and compare ourselves to the others. But the awesome thing about it is He gives them exactly what they agreed to. And it's fascinating as we go through this story how often things just don't change very much. The grace of the owner, the grace of God does not change, and neither do the people. It's interesting when you think about this scene. You imagine in the first century, they're all there waiting for work, and they were out early. And they all agree to the denarius. Now, that's not a ton of money. A soldier, Roman soldier at this time would get paid that. It was enough to feed them for the day. It would be enough on barley to feed three people a day. So, I mean, it wasn't a huge amount of money, but it was what they agreed to. It was common. It was the norm at this time for a day's work. Can you imagine at 6 a.m.? See, this story, by the way, does not teach you to wait till later to go to work. At 6 a.m., they get up, and they're going to go out, and they're going to try to find a job. That's the first hour. The third hour is 9 o'clock, sixth hour is noon, ninth hour is 3 o'clock, and the 11th hour is 5 o'clock. That's about when we would go out. 5 o'clock. It ends at 6. 5 o'clock. Half an hour lunch. It's amazing to consider what this had to have been like for them. And they're all sitting there waiting for a job. Can you imagine the people at 5 o'clock? They're not thinking they're going to get a job that day. This is something that they would have done all the time. And perhaps they waited there all day and went from place to place looking for a job that they were able to do the things that they needed to do for their family. And it's interesting, if this works, there you go. It's interesting to consider what it would have been like for them. And then you get to the landowner. And it fascinates me in verses 9 and 10 that he starts with the last group in this story. And obviously it's the purpose of what Jesus is teaching them here. I want you to start with the last group. And I want you to give them what they agreed to. Then the people that came a little earlier probably should get more. All the way to the first hour, and you think they're going to get a lot more. And the people in the first hour watch as he hands out denarius to every person. And you put your hand out, and you get a beautiful denarius with Nero's face on it in your hand. Can you imagine the difficulty with which it was taken? So much so, as we continue reading in verse 11, as we go forward, it says, when they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us and have borne the burden and scorching heat of the day. But he answered and said to one of them, friend, I am not doing you no wrong. I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. But I wish to give this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous? So the last shall be first and the first last. They were upset. They were upset with the landowner for what he does with his money. Which, by the way, they agree to. It's interesting when you go through this story. And again, we're just laying the foundation of what we're going to talk about. You see, the workers agreed to this price. They agreed to what they were paid. And they thought that the agreement was fair because that's what they were offered. And they accepted it. And that's what we're going to do. And we're going to work hard. But when it came down to it and they realized that other people are going to get the same amount and did not do the same amount of work, or at least as long of a day, it's not fair. Even though the landowner can do whatever he wants with his money. You know, one of the interesting things that is said here in this chapter is when he says in verse 15, is your eye envious because I am generous? Is your eye envious because I am generous? I ask you, is your eye envious because God is generous? Is it because of what the landowner did? Are we upset that God does not show partiality? That his grace is offered to every single person? Are we upset with that? I think some are. I think some don't think it's fair, and it doesn't matter. That his grace is given off to people who have been working in the Lord's field for a long time, compared to somebody who comes out of the waters of baptism and dies that day. Or it's not fair for people who have done such horrible things in their lives that God is willing to forgive them as much as he is me, and all I've done is lied. And that's a lie too. See, we compare ourselves to so many different things, not realizing the graciousness of the owner, of the Father, of our God. It's interesting, again, in this story, maybe. You push that for me, John. In verse 12. You see, the people here tell you what the issue is. Jesus tells us in verse 12, these last men have worked only 1 hour and you have made them equal to us. You've made them equal to us. We're not equal. I've been doing this all day. We're not equal. Yes, you are. Yes, we are. There may be differences of what's going on from the standpoint of responsibility, and certainly there are differences of responsibility. Imagine the people in the first hour knew exactly what they were doing. They may have had to teach the other people what they were supposed to be doing. This is where we're doing these things. We're throwing these things here. This is where we've already been. This is where you're going. You can have different responsibilities, and we all do have different responsibilities. But that doesn't change God's side. That doesn't change what he offers you and what he offers me. It doesn't change how generous he is. I love what Alan was talking about at the Lord's table, not only about his dad and the peace that he would have died and that hope that he had, but the idea that you and I can have this peace. You see, the difficulty sometimes in this story, in Matthew 20 chapter and what happens today, is that we focus on everybody else and we lose the peace. You know what the peace was? They got paid. They were given what they had agreed to. You know what I have agreed to? God, I have agreed that I'm going to be a living sacrifice to you. You know what he says? I will give you life and give it to you abundantly, as Eliot said in his prayer. These are my promises in which I give you, that you have asked for forgiveness of your sins and I have forgiven them. That's not fair. I don't have as many as Marvetta. That's not fair. She wasn't looking at me, so I said her name. It's not fair. You see, it's interesting as you go forward, thinking about these things, that God has created us for so much more than to look at each other and compare ourselves to other people and see what people don't have or what they do have and what I don't have. And Ann said this a lot better than I'm going to in this part in class this morning. Understanding the purpose why we are here. I am to let my light shine. In Matthew the 5th chapter, we've talked about all year. I am letting my light shine. I am to be the salt of the earth. I am to influence those around me. I am to be different. He has created us for far more than just going through this life sad, looking at other people getting upset, focusing so much on the burdens, or as my dad said in class, the stuff. And realizing that it's so much more. You know what the hardest part is, I think? I think we all know that. I think we all say that. Living it, whole another ballgame. You were created for so much more. You know, what's interesting when you think about this story, the idea that they would have been looking at each other from our perspective and talking about the story, is the idea of why they were there. Esther, and we all certainly know the story of Esther, the fact that in chapter 4 and verse 14, Mordecai tells her, this is why you're here. You've attained royalty for this very reason. There may be some of us who get so caught up in the laborers, get caught up in the other people, and the focus on what's going on. And there are people, believe it or not, in a congregation that is united as we are and growing as we are, that are disgruntled. And there's various reasons as to why that is. Perhaps you look around and you see that there's something that's not being done and it needs to be done. Perhaps that's why you're here. That's why you're here. So often, we see opportunities and we think, oh, somebody else is going to do this. Just click them all on there. Now, not when. Thank you. Thank you, John. If not now, when is it going to be done? Oh, there's something that needs to be done in the congregation. When's it going to be done? When is Scott or when is Tyler or when are the elders going to do it? Maybe, I know this is a shock, But Tyler may not be smart enough to catch that. And I know I'm not. And the elders seem to be pretty busy. If you notice something that's missing, tell them. Tell us. You can tell other people. That's what we call gossip and complaining. Tell them. You know, the ones that could do something about it. See, if you compare yourselves to everybody else, and this person just came along and they're doing all these things, good. Good. The understanding for you and I is whether or not we've already taken God out of our life. This is all about Him. Let me show you what I mean. Turn over to John, the fifth chapter. You can click that for me, John. In John, the fifth chapter, I want you to notice something of this story, because what happens is we read these stories and we view them from our perspective, and there's not miracles today, so this doesn't really apply to us, and it 100% applies to us. Satan is really, really good at what he does. I hate to say it that way, but that's exactly what it is. So Jesus does this amazing miracle here. I want you to notice how verse 10 is written, because it's, if it wasn't so sad, it would be hilarious to me. So the Jews were saying to the man who was cured, think about that, just that part. They were saying to the man who couldn't walk something. Now what would you say to this man? Praise God. That is amazing that you're able to walk. What do they focus on? You know it's Saturday, right? That's sort of work. You can't pick up your bed? What is this? You just start walking today? You can't pick up your bed? Yes, that's exactly what happened. Yes, I just started today. This is exactly what we do. They didn't focus on the God part. They didn't focus on the one who healed him. They focused on what they wanted to do. Their part. You can't do that today. We made this law. You can't do that. That's the tradition. And you miss God. And we miss the whole point of what's being done. And we miss the opportunity to encourage one another. You know the opportunity that they had at this particular moment to encourage this man and to encourage other people who Jesus Christ is going to touch. Literally and figuratively. And what he's going to do for them. And they focus so much. You can't do that today. You can't walk today. You can't pick up your pallet today. That's work. That's the part they focused on. And this is one example of many. There are things being done at West Mason that are absolutely awesome. In the next month or so, we're going to start some new things for the young ladies, for the young men. Maybe VBS, all the different things that are going on. We can focus on what's not happening. And we sort of miss the point. You know, one of the hardest things for me, and I just got back from vacation, so I'll just be honest with you today. One of the hardest things for me in a congregation of this size is letting go of my control. There are things that I want to do. I can do them. Maybe I can even do them better, I think. But that's not what this is about. It's not about me. It's about giving people the opportunity to stand up and shine, to bring glory to the Almighty God. It's helping people grow. It's focusing on what's being done and how amazing it is. You see, it's Satan that turns us negative. He's the one that makes us look at the laborers. He's the one that makes us look around and see what's going on. It's God who encourages us and desires for us to encourage one another. That doesn't mean you're always going to agree. Let me give you an example. See, when Tyler disagrees with me, You know what he does? Think about it. This is amazing to me. It took a long time to teach him. You know what he does? He talks to me. Is that crazy? We talk about it. And sometimes he's right. Isn't that amazing? And we still work together. And we're still brothers. We're still family. And he disagreed with me. It's okay. Because it's not about me or you. It's about God. It's about serving him. It's about understanding that all of this comes down to our love for the Almighty God. And whatever verse you put up here, Ephesians 4, here I have 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 3. You can do all these things. And one of the most powerful verses to me is in 1 Corinthians 13, when he says, you can be a martyr. You can die for the name of God. If you do not have love, it is nothing. Think about that. I'm going to die a martyr for Jesus Christ. If I don't have love, it's nothing. I mean, it's something. I'm giving my life. Why are you giving your life? Is it for you? You see, the interesting piece in that chapter is the idea that that chapter, by the way, is not written for marriages only. That's where I'll read it, at weddings and in various places. And I have this love for my wife. And you need to. But you know what that chapter is about? Arguments between brothers and sisters in Christ about spiritual gifts. And he says you can have all the spiritual gifts in the world. You can have all of them. If you don't have love, it is nothing. Nothing. You can do all sorts of good things. You can desire and have zeal to do everything right. If you don't have love, it is nothing, he says. Nothing. Is that easy to put into practice? Not always. It's really hard when people disagree with me. It's really hard when I know I can do a better job. Or I think I can. That's the wrong attitude, though. It's awesome. It's awesome to see people up here. I mean, I love the fact this morning there were like three or four guys, young guys, up here serving at the table. Young guys. It's amazing to be able to go away for a week and knowing that Tyler's going to do a great job last Sunday morning and that Jansen's going to preach last Sunday night. That's awesome. And that there are people that are willing to stand up and to do things. See, well, what happens, though, is we get so caught on the fact that we've done so much work, we've done so many things, and we look at the other laborers, and they're going to get the same exact pay, and totally misunderstanding what grace is. You think about that story, and as we come to a close, the idea of what true grace is for us. Grace reminds us that God's favor is a gift. Remember the problem in this text, it is not the injustice of a mean and cruel landowner. The problem is the scandal of a gracious and loving farmer. Love that. You know what the problem was? He was gracious. He was loving. And the people got upset. The kingdom of heaven is like this. In a very real sense, there are people that, as we would say, grew up in the church. There are people who have been Christians for many, many, many years. Some of you may not even know how long. There are others. My grandfather was one of them that obeyed the gospel, never stepped foot in a building, but obeyed the gospel right before he passed away. And praise God that we get the opportunity to go to the exact same place. That's grace. That's understanding His grace. That it's not about me. It's about this awesome opportunity that every single one of us has to be with Him for eternity. It's about Him. It's about glorifying Him. That's what I appreciated so much of what Ann was talking about, this idea of this purpose that we have, of glorifying Him in all that we do. But there is no question that sometimes Satan gets us off track a little bit. But again, by God's grace, we all have the opportunity now to get our lives right with Him. If you've been focusing on the other people, look up. Realize who your Father is. Realize what He has done for you. Realize that what He is going to give you is through His grace, His mercy, and His love. There may be some here who haven't even started working for Him yet. The awesome thing about God in that situation is He still wants you. He loves you. Taking it outside of that story, He sent His Son and He died for you to give you the opportunity, just the opportunity to live for Him. Next week, we're going to take the next step in this conversation. And the idea from a church perspective, and that's what we're talking about this month, of what it means to shine our lights and understanding what it means inwardly as we shine outwardly. This all starts with our focus on Him. If you have not done that, now is the time. Refocus. Refocus.